Okay, so that was the game we played earlier. It was basically Simon Says, but it was an unusual way of playing Simon Says. And I think Bruce Forsyth used to say it was a good game. But I played a game with humans, I think. Yes, they were all humans. But I wonder what would have happened. I wonder how well it would have gone if I'd played the game with these guys. Can anyone tell me who these people are? They are
droids.
They're droids. In fact, they're battle droids, to be precise. And you can see them there on manoeuvres, and then you can see the Lego version as well. And essentially, they're robots. They're like just like these sort of people over here that have been created in the holiday club this week. So, I'm going to ask you a question, perhaps quite a difficult question. Which game do you think the droids would have preferred? Would they have preferred Simon Says, the traditional Simon Says, or John Says? That's quite a tricky question. You have to imagine you were a droid, or you are a droid, which I hope takes a bit of imagining, and then what game would you prefer? Simon Says or John Says? How do you think, put it another way, how do you think droids would have got on playing John Says, where you had to not do what I said, but you could choose what you wanted to do? The heat is getting to you all, isn't it? I should have got a congregation of droids. I think they function quite well in all temperatures. Well, I'm going to suggest that droids would prefer to play Simon Says, because I think droids, and I don't know any well, but on the whole, they like to be told what to do. They like to be given one thing to do, which they know they've got to do. And I think droids, if they had to make a choice, if they had to decide what to do for themselves, then they would probably crumple up in a little metallic heap and overheat. Now, people are different from robots and droids because we can choose. Yes, it's true, we can choose to mess things up. We can make mistakes. We can misunderstand. We can choose to be lazy. We can choose to do nothing at all. And we can choose to do deliberately the wrong thing. But the great thing about being a human, I think, is that when we do the right thing, on those rare occasions, we do it because we want to. We don't do it because we have no choice. We do the right thing because we actually have chosen to do it. And I think that is why God likes humans, and why God uses humans. If I was God, terrifying thought, I must admit that I would prefer robots. If I had a lot of things to get done, you know, saving the world before breakfast, telling everyone on the planet about Jesus, stopping all warfare, ending world poverty, suffering and disease as soon as possible, then I'd go for robots every time. They do what they're told and they get on with it. But the incredible thing is that God doesn't. He calls everyone, ordinary people like you and me, to follow him and to help save the world. Now, in the story we saw from the Bible today, we saw Jesus calling those very first human beings, those very first people, Simon Peter, Andrew, James and John, to follow him. And the story we saw from the matchmaker, no, not the matchmaker, the miracle maker, sorry, you're on. I think I was a woman, the way my thoughts go to chocolate. The story that we saw from the matchmaker earlier on is... Did I say it again? I think the heat's getting to me as well. I told you I had a good idea yesterday. The story we saw from the miracle maker earlier on, drum roll, is actually based on Luke chapter 5 and verses 1 to 11. Now, you might like to rush home after the service and read it for yourselves, because, as is the way of these things, there's a few dramatic additions in The Miracle Maker to add a few bits to make the story better. It's basically the story that you'll find, but you might want to read it for yourself. Now, we also find the same story in Matthew and Mark, as well as Luke, and all three versions end up much the same. They end up with the verse, they pulled the boats up on the beach, left everything, and followed Jesus, or words to that effect. But if you look at the versions in Matthew and Mark, they're very much shorter. And they do make it sound, rather, as if Jesus is happening to walk along the beach one day and he sees four total strangers in their fishing boats and calls them and they get up and follow him. It actually does make them sound a little bit like the robots or the droids that we were talking about earlier. Now, in fact, when we read the story in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, then we know that they weren't, in fact, total strangers. Jesus already knew them, and they already knew Jesus. So I like the version in Luke, which we heard today, because it tells the whole story, and also because it shows that following Jesus isn't always that simple. Because we're humans, not robots, and so we really do have a choice. In fact, Simon had to make not just one choice, but three choices. Yes, there was the big one at the end that everyone remembers, the choice about whether to leave everything behind and follow Jesus, or whether to stay in the family fishing business on the shores of Lake Galilee for the rest of his life. But there were two easier choices that he had to make before he had to make that big one. Did anyone spot what those two choices were? Not just the big one at the end, but Peter, sorry, I keep on calling him Peter, he was known as Simon at the time. Simon had to choose two other things before he got to the big choice at the end. Definitely the heat, must be the heat. Okay, well he made... There were the two he made earlier. We move on there. The first choice he had to make was to let Jesus use his boat. It was his boat. Jesus wanted to use it. And he had to decide whether or not to let Jesus do that. Then he had another choice to make. In the middle of the story, should he go fishing again? Jesus told him to go out and put his nets in the sea again, and he had to decide what to do. Now I reckon that there would have been all sorts of reasons why he might have to think quite hard about those choices. Imagine you're a fisherman. Okay, you can stop imagining you're a droid now. Imagine you're a fisherman and you've been up all night and you've been fishing for a wonderful shoal of fish, none of whom who have had the decency to turn up. So you've caught nothing all night. And now you're in the morning, you're sitting on the beach, trying to get the muck out of your nets. You've still got the muck, even though you haven't got any fish. The seaweed, the sticks, the stones, the crisp packets, all those sorts of things that float around on the sea. And then, while you're doing that, along comes the local preacher, someone like Martin or Lisa, and jumps into your boat, so that they can preach for hours to their crowds of adoring fans without getting squashed. How would you feel? Any suggestions? Anyone awake yet? Fed up. Yes, good. Fed up. Thank you, Alison. You can have a gold star for being awake. Fed up. I think everyone else must have been out all night fishing or something else. Yeah, you probably wouldn't feel too happy about that. Let's move on a bit. The preacher has now, at long last, finished preaching for several hours in your boat, just as well because the sun is starting to become unbearably hot. And just as you turn the boat round, ready to head back to the shore, the said preacher suggests that instead of going back to bed, you go for an unscheduled fishing trip. Any thoughts? How do you feel about that? You're very mild people. I think I would think of a few things to say. Okay, let's go on to the next slide, Pop. I think that if I was Simon, I would have quite a few thoughts going through my head. When Jesus asked to borrow my boat in the first place, when I wanted to go to bed, I would draw that to his attention. I'd say, can't you use someone else's boat? Why has it got to be mine? I'm really tired. I want to go to bed. When Jesus asked to go out to fish in the middle of the sea, I think I'd get even more cross. Okay, you might be a brilliant preacher, but what do you know about fishing? I'm the expert at fishing. And apparently, I've learned quite a lot about fishing in the last few days, the last 24 hours really. Fish don't like to come out in the sunlight. Is that true? Any fishermen? Any anglers? As I understand it, and tell me if I'm wrong, it's because the fish can see you coming if it's light. So, like, if they're swimming around and they see this big shadow of a net coming down towards them, they think, aye, aye, there's something fishy going on here. Boom, boom. Trying to wake you up somehow. And so they go down deeper, which is the other reason why you don't fish in deep water in those days, because you cut your nets don't go down that far, but the fish do. Better to fish in shallow water when it's not sunny. So Jesus seems to think that he's an expert on fishing as well. And then finally, the big question, where Jesus says, leave everything behind and follow me, that would worry me even more. You'd bring all sorts of questions. But what about my job? What about my fishing business? What about my home? What about my family? What would happen to all those things? So there's all sorts of reasons why following Jesus isn't simple. Well, what do we learn from this story? There's an awful lot we can learn from the story. I could go on for hours, just like Jesus did that morning, but I won't. So here's just a couple of things that we learn from the story, I think. The first thing is that Jesus calls us to follow him step by step. That's a really good thing, because I think Jesus actually makes it easier for us to follow him by helping us to follow him in ways that are easier before he then moves on to more difficult things. Note how Jesus first asked Simon to let him get into the boat. Not that difficult, inconvenient perhaps. And then later on to push out to do fishing in the middle of the day. Bit daft, but it wasn't painful, I suppose. Something that Simon could do. And then finally, he asked him the big question. To follow him, to leave everything behind. And I believe Jesus treats us like that too. Helping us to obey and building up our faith and confidence before asking us to do something more difficult. And I suspect that if we try to follow Jesus this week, it probably won't mean leaving our homes and our families and our jobs and going off into the unknown or to Lebanon or somewhere like that. Feel free to come back and tell me next Sunday if I was wrong. But what it might mean doing is something that we'd rather not do. Just like tired, fed up Simon used his boat to help Jesus to tell the good news to people who were desperate to hear. It might mean perhaps going out of our way to speak to someone who we don't like. Maybe, just maybe, following Jesus this week might mean going outside our comfort zone and doing something that seems pretty pointless, like being friendly to someone who really isn't likely to appreciate it. You never know what miracles you might see once you follow Jesus. Second thing we learn is that the more we follow Jesus and the more we obey him, the more we understand. Note how Simon only understands how special Jesus is once he obeys him, once he takes the boat out to fish in deep waters, and then he really begins to realise how special Jesus is. He realises that Jesus isn't just a brilliant local preacher like Martin and Lisa, but someone even more incredible. And while we can learn from reading the Bible and listening in church, it's perhaps only when we start to follow Jesus that we really begin to understand what he's like. And then finally, Jesus wants us all to follow him. The choice is ours. When I was about 9 or 10, there were 3 weedy boys in my class. There was me, of course, and then there was Adam Williams and Robert Brooks. We had quite a good excuse because we were all 2 years younger than the rest of the boys in the class. We were all so intelligent, you see. But unfortunately, that excuse cut absolutely no ice in PE lessons. The PE teacher used to start the lesson by appointing 2 captains. I don't know whether their PE teachers have moved on a bit now, but they were horrible in those days. Apologies to any PE teachers here. So they would pick 2 captains, the best, most talented, most agile sportsmen, of course, and then those 2 would take it in turns to choose their teams, their followers. And, of course, they would choose the next best, the next most talented, the next most agile sportsman, or their friends. And so on. Until standing in the playground was just Adam Williams and Robert Brooks and me. And then a great groan would grow up from each team as they realised that they had to have at least 1 of us on their team. The lucky team only had to have 1, while the unlucky team had to have 2 of us, which was usually the kiss of death to their hopes of winning anything at all. Well, that's how the world chooses followers. No choice for you. Line up here. Form an orderly queue. The best at the front. Don't call us. We'll call you. But Jesus does it differently. Totally differently. Jesus calls everyone to follow him. Every single person who's ever lived, Jesus calls and wants to follow him. The wise and the clever and the strong, yes. But also those with no previous experience. The weedy, like Adam Williams and Robert Brooks, and me. The people who make a mess of things, like Simon the fisherman, whose main skill, apart from fishing, was to open his mouth and put his foot straight in it. But whether we're in the team or not, it's really, at the end of the day, down to us. Jesus wants everyone here this morning to follow him, to make the most of our lives, to have a purpose and dignity that we don't otherwise have, a life that carries on even when we die and gets even better. So the choice is ours. Are we, like Simon, willing to let Jesus into our lives, even if we have doubts? Like Simon, are we willing to go off in a different direction because he tells us to, even when it seems wrong? In various different ways, are we willing to pack up the old life, the selfish habits, the negative thoughts, the old way of doing things, and follow him? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you call us to follow you, but you don't force us to come. Thank you that you want us to follow, not because we must, but because we may. Because we love you as you have loved us. Forgive us when we find it hard to trust you, and help us that this week we will learn to trust you that little bit more, to follow you that little bit further in the great adventure that you have planned for us. Amen.